the Ball's cash machine.
We've given away hundreds of thousands of euro across the Go Loud network of stations. For your chance to win, tune in to Off the Ball Breakfast weekdays from 7:30 on the Off the Ball app, and we'll give you the all-important cash amount.
Oh my God!
The Koigig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland Women's National Team.
Katie McCabe, a huge, huge goal.
I'm very proud of the team's performance.
We're going to go out there to beat them. We're going to try and beat them.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Koigig Podcast. Kathleen McNamee here after a very enjoyable win down in Cork. And today we learned who we will face in those qualifying playoffs for the next European Championships next summer. And it's none other than Georgia. Someone that Irish teams have become very familiar with over the last couple of years. To talk about that and also reflect on a brilliant night in Porky Queeve, I am joined by the one and only Captain Karen Duggan. Karen, how are you feeling? A couple of days to calm the excitement?
Yeah, well, I think we're okay after the draw being Georgia. We'll talk about who we could potentially get in the second playoff in a bit. But I mean, yeah, it's been a good week. I think we were a little bit overexcited about scoring a goal against England, but to go and beat France was massive. And again, maybe we were a bit over the top. France had made 11 changes. Up until the goal, you know, there was some questionable decision making on our part, but I don't care.
I don't think we were over the top at all. I mean, These opportunities come around so rarely for us in Irish football, whether it's the men's or the women's team. And yes, France made 11 changes, but also France's B squad, like the majority of them are still playing Champions League football.
Yeah, like the names were Lyon, PSG, Paris FC, like Chelsea, you know, a couple of Chelsea players in there as well that, you know, they're all right, to be fair to them. So, yeah, absolutely. It was a fantastic performance as well as everything. I thought to bring that energy after a really sapping game against England was brilliant. And obviously wax lyrical about the changes that Eileen made at halftime in that England game, and she stuck with that for the France game, and it's fair to say that it paid dividends.
It certainly did, and as you say, I expected the team to look a lot more tired after that England game, but you didn't really get that sense at all. And even talking to some of the players after the match, you know, the likes of Leanne Kiernan, it kind of felt like the whole team almost felt like Cork was a bit of a reset, in that it was a bit of a different place to be, you know, unfamiliar surroundings to a certain extent, but also ones that they really enjoyed. And there was just a really, really positive vibe even going into the game, which I wasn't totally expecting. I thought they would get to the end of the qualifying campaign and just be a bit tired, which would be understandable considering the level of opposition they'd faced.
Yeah, definitely. I think everyone, you could tell from their interviews and stuff and speaking to a couple of the girls, that just the treatment they got when they went to Cork, you know, like you say, it was a change of scenery. There was a real buzz then when they came around the stadium and you saw the amount of people who were there to greet them and the amount of people who stayed after to try and get a glimpse of them on the team bus. And definitely was worth changing it up and bringing it down to Porky Queeve. I think the atmosphere was phenomenal. At the start, you were like, God, are we going to fill these seats? And then by the end, you were like, God, if only the FAI had done a bit of marketing, they could have opened the stadium behind the goal, because I guarantee you more people would have come had they known, well, now that they know that this performance is in the girl, but had they known what level of player they would have been seeing, even on the France side, I think that it absolutely would have opened up that stand and is probably going to be food for thought for definitely the second qualifier that we assume / hope we will be in.
We assume / hope indeed. For that second qualifier, as you mentioned, it'll be either Slovakia or Wales, both of whom we have faced in our not so distant past. One went a little bit better than the other, we shall say. But before we get into that a bit more, just again on the other night, you're so right about the atmosphere. And like, I had so many people messaging me a couple of hours before the game being like, oh, there's still tickets around, you know, could I go to the stadium and get one there? And you think if that stand was open, that option probably would have been there for a lot of people. I think when Denise scored that goal, the only time I've ever heard a reaction to a goal like that was in Australia, whenever Katie scored her goal. And some of the other journalists were even saying in the press room afterwards that they thought the cheer was louder for that Denise O'Sullivan goal. But For you, what was it that changed? Like, I know obviously France made all the changes and it wasn't their normal starting 11, but in our play, what was it that changed on the night that actually allowed us to not even sit back when we got the goal, but we went for it, which is not something that we normally see. Sometimes we get a goal and we're like, okay, let's defend for our lives. And I think I was texting you and I was like, I don't want to do the next 20 minutes of having a lead and trying to hold on to it. Just like, wake me up when it's all over, because I thought that's what we were going to do, but it wasn't.
Yeah, I think it's largely to do with the personnel who were on the pitch. These are not people who would be accustomed to sitting in and that being their job, even against the top teams. You're not going to ask Leanne or Julianne to be the player who'll sit back in centre mid and try and do and join in the low block. They know that their strength is pressing high. And in the second half, I noticed as well, even when France were trying to play out, Leanne and Julianne went wide and Jessou picked up a really advanced position to screen the midfield. And France were then limited in their options. I think that was like a brave press not to be behind the French midfield, because we know that the quality they have, but we cut off those spaces really well. And then when we did nick it, we were, Denise had options. You know, she had willing runners down the wing. She had people who were willing to make runs that opened up space for her, not necessarily to get the ball. And we were talking about how good Denise was against England. She was unbelievable against France as well. And I think it was just the space in midfield. They got it right. Once they made that switch, putting Katie back, left wing back, bringing in Jessou. And then when they got the bit of confidence that the press was working, I thought Aoife Mannion had probably her best game in that right wing back position as well. A lot of people played really, really well on the night, which obviously always helps. But I think that people understood their role, played to their strengths. You know, I do think creating space for Denise to allow her to get into those advanced positions, you saw what she do. She took her goal brilliantly. She had proper link-up play with the girls up front as well. So there was a load of little tweaks that made a massive difference to how we played.
Yeah, Karen, I think we can take full credit for it, because obviously we called for consistency during the week and that was exactly what we got. And we could see it reflected on the relationships on the pitch, where people knew what they were doing. They knew where they were supposed to be. I think you're totally right to call out Aoife Mannion. I was really, really impressed with her, because a lot of the play was coming down her side as well. I don't know, was it a particular tactic that France were just trying to avoid Katie McCabe and thought that maybe it was a bit more fruitful for them to go down the right? But she was outstanding and so consistent for the entire evening.
Yeah, I was really, really happy for her. I think even after we spoke about the first England game at home, and that was a tough night for her, but even the improvement into the second leg against England, I think that will have stood to her. And obviously she's been so riddled with injuries and stuff that it's great. It's probably just to do with her run of form. She probably always had this ability, but it's just about getting minutes under your belt. And I think that's something we should definitely be looking at, is having players on the pitch who can definitely go the full distance and who are at their peak fitness. I thought that the midfield worked well, so I'd love to see Rusha be able to last 90 minutes, because I think she adds a lot in there. I do think Lily Ag did really well and brought a lot of energy, but in games where we are chasing and you might need to change, it's usually the wider players or the front players that you want to make those substitutes for. You don't really want to be substituting centre-backs and centre-mids and wasting your subs on that. So I'd love to see that just be the level you have to be able to play 90, and hopefully we can have a squad who can fully do that.
Yeah, because it's rare to watch an Ireland game and be sitting there and not thinking to yourself, someone needs to be substituted off or we need to make a change here. You know, it got to 80 minutes and you were like, I want as many people as possible that have played this game to stay on the pitch, because it's working for us and it's consistent, and maybe one or two tired legs might need to be changed out, but it wasn't, you didn't feel like there was any major tactical shift or any major personnel shift that needed to be made, which was a nice change.
Yeah, it definitely was a nice change. It clicked really well in the second half. And again, that's without even relying on Katie to get forward. A lot of the play came through centrally, because that's where we were nicking the ball. And like I said, even Mannion had a brilliant game. She was probably even higher on that right-hand side. So again, when we are that little bit fitter going into these qualifiers, Katie will obviously be back to her best, which we are praying for. But I think there's a lot to look forward to. Denise said in the interview after the game, they can go into these games now with real confidence because of that win. I think before that, you're kind of searching for the good that was coming from this campaign. And like you say, when you actually analyze it, there was a lot of chopping and changing. We were changing formations. We, up until the England game, had 7 shots on target. Then we finally got a goal. That bred a little bit of confidence into us. But getting an actual win against a top team, that, like you say, it's so rare. Mm. It's really, really rare. Like in my career, okay, I didn't play a huge amount, but like my career, my highlight was a nil-all with Holland, who were European champions at the time. Like those things really stand out. They're so, so rare. And we had really hard fought games against the likes of Slovakia. So to go and beat France, it's huge. It's absolutely huge. And in a week where the under-19s drew with Spain as well and ran Germany close, I think there's a lot to be optimistic about. Should we continue in this vein? Which is always the question about what's next.
Whenever the draw was happening today, I almost didn't want it to happen. I was like, can I just sit in this little bubble
for
a little bit longer and not have to think about the next stage? No, I think you're totally right. And I was on with Ciara Grant after the game on Off the Ball, and she made the good point of it wasn't as if as well any of the goals that we got on the night were fluky or jammy in any sort of way. Like maybe the Anna Patton one you might say a little bit, but
it was a really good delivery by Megan Connolly.
Yeah, so that's the thing, the ball was put in really well, and then the other two goals, like Denise's goal was just pure skill to watch and beauty, and like picked it out, same with Julianne. And I think that also will breed confidence in the team, because you could argue that the goal against England, you know, it was 94th minute, scramble in the box, again, really well delivered and taken.
It was the thing we did in the last era where we put Lou up and hoped that she'd produce something for us. Okay, it's a brilliant weapon to have, but again, it shouldn't be our go-to.
Yeah, whereas the other night, it felt comfortable in a way that we haven't really had in a long time, even against lesser opposition. I would say, you know, we can talk about who we're going to face in the next round and the comfortable win that we had against them at home, but yeah, I think that will give them massive confidence going into the next round. So as we have said, we have Georgia in the next round, and we met them when we were qualifying for the World Cup. You, whenever this was announced, you said that you reckon it's going to be a double figures game.
I said that in confidence. No, maybe not double figures. That's a bit cruel to Georgia. Like, we don't know how they're going to line up. You'd imagine that they'll come out and be really, really defensive. But the gulf there is, should continue to be the results that we had previously against them. I think the last one was 9-0, was it? I remember, I think one of my last games with Steph and Anya, I think they got a hat trick apiece against them. I think it could have been 11-0. So there would be no excuse for it not to be a comprehensive win.
Yeah. So when we played them for the qualifiers, it was 9-0 at the away game and then 11-0 in Tala. So that was 20
and no disrespect to Georgia, they got themselves into a position where, you know, they're competing at this level, but we should hold ourselves in higher esteem and be going out to, I guess, make a statement.
I was going to say, like, is that the expectation for this game, considering the level of opposition, that we will make a statement, and do we need a statement performance?
Well, I would imagine it's about nailing down our starting 11 and working on the style of play that we want to play in the following leg. So it's about getting that right. And I'd imagine with the players that we have on the pitch and the work that will be done on the training ground between now and then, that it would mean that we would be capable of going out and getting a very big win. You can give people game time at the end of the games, but I think it's important for us to just continue to work on those on-field relationships, because we finally seem to be nearly nailing that down.
Yeah, and just pray that there aren't any injuries. It will be very interesting to see what happens when Caruso is back fit, because obviously she has been such a stalwart of Eileen Gleeson's sides, one that wasn't really questioned. But when you look at the way that Leanne Kiernan and Julianne were able to link up together, it felt like the start of a nice relationship. So
yeah, it definitely did. The only thing I could think of would be if we went to four in midfield and one of the girls dropped into the wing and one went into the 10. But again, because the France game was so good now, it's hard to see us changing. But that's what we probably need to get away from as well. Sometimes we're too stuck to a system because it worked in a previous game. Mm. I'd love to see us be forward thinking in how we can get at an opposition. And I think even with the personnel we had in the pitch the other day, we definitely could do that, because I think Jess Zhu, for me, can play anywhere, and her consistency throughout this campaign needs to be called out. I think she's been phenomenal, so keeping her fit is absolutely huge. And I think she's going to be a massive mainstay in the team. I think she's certainly one of the girls who won't be rotated at any point. I think you find a place for her.
No, I totally agree. And especially in those earlier games, I felt like she was one of our most progressive players and was creating really good chances that either people weren't getting on the end of, or there just wasn't maybe the personnel around her to kind of properly see it through.
The backline will be interesting, though, with Heather coming in.
Mm.
Because we know Aoife Mannion can play in one of those centre-back positions as well. We'd imagine Heather will take the wing-back position. So then you've got Aoife Mannion, Caitlin Hayes, Anna Patton, Louise Quinn, Niamh Fahey for three positions.
I mean, it's a nice problem to have.
It is a nice problem to have, but we need to know.
Yeah. For you, what's the ideal there then?
I don't know.
For anyone listening to this on podcast, the faces that Karen just made there was quite impressive.
Actually, I don't know. Because you know I always say you have Niamh Fahey on the pitch when you can't have Niamh Fahey on the pitch, just in terms of what she gives as a team player. I thought Louise was brilliant the other night.
Yeah.
I don't think that Caitlin or Anna have done anything wrong since they've come in. And we can see Aoife Mannion growing game on game. So it is by far the hardest position on the pitch to call.
Mm.
And it's not our job, thank God. Best of luck, Eileen.
We wish you the best. We get to just sit here and pontificate about it and not actually have to make any of the important decisions. Yeah, see that? I actually don't know what I'd do either. I mean, I suppose when you look at that list, the only ones who have been consistently fit are Anna Patton and Caitlin Hayes. Mm-hmm. And there's a high chance that that will play massively into whatever decision we make. You know, Louise not starting the England game, like that was a football decision. But I know people have said that, you know, she's played so much football that possibly needed a bit of a rest and needed a little bit of time. Niamh Fahey, again, injury-wise, hasn't had the most consistent sort of time. So is it a case where you're looking at one or either of those? And then between the other three, like you probably, are we at a past the stage where you would have Niamh and Louise on the pitch at the same time, I think?
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't think I'd see the day, but it is possibly looking like that just because of the competition that's there now.
Yeah.
Really difficult to call.
Very, very difficult to call. But as you say, thankfully, we do not have to deal with that or worry about it. We just get to talk
about
it. I guess
like you say, injuries and form at the start of the season has to play a factor now, because that's all Eileen's going to have to go off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So assuming that we do get past Georgia, which I always hate assuming these things, but we kind of have to at this stage, we will have either Wales or Slovakia in round two. So people will remember that we faced Slovakia as well in our European qualifiers. We beat them 1-0 away from home, and then it was a 1-1 draw at home, which is actually on my birthday in 2021. Back in the day, I remember watching it. I was very annoyed that they did not give me a result at the time. And then after facing Wales this year, we also have a little bit of monkey on our back when it comes to Wales after that performance. I know we're coming into it in a very, very different position than when we played that game, but you wouldn't feel confident, but I suppose there will be that little bit of doubt in supporters' minds going into that game.
Yes, because when you look back on that game, we were absolutely spanked. We were played off the park. I don't think I've ever been so humbled in my life. I was like, yeah, we'll have enough now to get over the line here. No problem. Pre-match build-up. I was like, yeah, this will be fine. didn't lay a glove on them. They absolutely outplayed us. What I would say is obviously we're developed. We've had some amazingly tough tests since then. And also there will be absolutely no complacency going into that game because we know how good they are now. And they are very, very good. And I think we were surprised by there seemingly being a bit of a technical goal for, they just seemed to be far more fluid in how they played. And maybe that's because they have a more consistent team and things like that. But
they'd also been playing a higher standard at that stage than we had and against higher opposition. So hopefully
the tables have flipped a little bit. So we would hope that with that, we would be the team who would be coming into it with the better form, the higher confidence and just being used to playing at that higher level. I think that that's the way we have to look at it, is that this is an opportunity now to show how much we've progressed and also prove that the performance that we put in that game was not who this team is, because it was, like I say, I was humbled.
I think we all were. I went into it very optimistic as well, and I remember doing live comms on Off the Ball and just being like, oh, this isn't what I was expecting. I thought we were going to
we grew into
we
the game,
scored
but
goals
it was
before. What are we doing?
It was the concession of early goals again.
Yeah.
And we saw against France what happens when we don't concede it. It's not just that we stay in the game, is that we actually go and attack it. Whereas, you know, when we conceded the early goal against England, we were just staying in the game, and England then took the foot off the pedal a little bit and we grew a little bit more and more. But by not conceding, we actually went and attacked the game.
Yeah.
Whereas like against Wales, we conceded after 7 minutes or something like that.
And like that game was only a 2-0 result, but
it
felt like a 6-0 in my mind.
Because
when
Wales could have had more in the first half. I think we grew possession-wise and stuff in the second half, but we looked a bit void of answers.
We also parked the bus a little bit where we were like, this feels like it's going one way. In terms of who Wales have been playing in this group, so they had Kosovo, Croatia and Ukraine. Like fairly consistent results from them. They beat Kosovo 6-0 in April, 4-0 against Croatia, 1-1 draw against Ukraine, 2-2 against Ukraine. So that was kind of the team that stuck them a little bit. And then in the latest round of fixtures, they beat Croatia 3-0 and Kosovo 2-0. So again, very, very different opposition to what we have been facing in the likes of France and England and Sweden as well. Shouldn't forget about them. There is also a potential that we will have Slovakia as well. So it's not totally certain that it is going to be this Welsh team. And you would kind of say similar enough feelings about Slovakia. Maybe it's not as bad because it's not as recent in our memory. And we did actually get, we got a draw and we got 3 points in one of the games. But again, not one that we can take necessarily for granted.
No, definitely not. I remember playing them the week after the strike happened. And there was so much pressure on us to win that game. But Slovakia kind of came out and it was very, very evenly matched. And we obviously got a late goal, I think, just to get that one over the line. And it's kind of been that way since. They seem to be the team that afterwards we always say we need to be better technically. I think they're the team that always prove to us that we are not quite there yet, you know, because we have this expectation that we'll go out and beat them, that we'll dominate possession. And then we always get a little bit surprised when we don't. And I think that happened the last couple of times we played them as well. We had an expectation that we'd go out and beat them possibly by more than we did. But again, in recent memory, we have beaten this team. And again, that's where we should set our expectations, especially given what we're hoping the growth pattern was throughout this campaign.
Yeah, well, fingers crossed whenever these games do roll around that is exactly what happens. But for now, we can bask in the glow of what was a very, very fun week for Irish football after what was quite a harrowing week. I think everyone can agree that it was an opportunity to celebrate the good side of the sport, which we need to remember to do as well. Karen, thank you very much, as always. I hope you have a nice weekend planned.
Me too.
Bit of hurling on the TV on Sunday. Well, maybe not. Might be a bit too hard to watch as a Kilkenny fan.
It is what it is. I'm used to it now.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball is brought to you by Cadbury, official snack partner to the Republic of Ireland women's national team. That's all from us for now, but the WSL season isn't all that far away, so we shall see you all very, very soon.
The Koi Gig Pod on Off the Ball in association with Cadbury, official snack partner of the Republic of Ireland women's national team.